Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's going on, everybody? Dave Sturcio, Destruction, is with you right now for another episode of Destruction 101. It is show week. That's right. One of those weeks there, every time there's a show in Rahway, especially coming off a couple months off of not doing much as far as shows in Rahway are concerned, I'm expecting and anticipating a massive, massive crowd this Saturday. Rahway Rec Center. Get your tickets now. First row, sold out. Second row, sold out. General admission remains. I'm telling you right now, go get it. Go get involved with this show, because let me tell you something. Look at the star-studded lineup, and I'm not just throwing you a pitch. I'm being honest. It's topping it off with, obviously, the cage match, Pat Buck versus Dan Moff, to settle their feud and story one last time, you would think, right? I mean, what's left? They've had a Mops Madness match. Now they're inside a cage. I'm kind of excited to announce a match inside a cage. Never done that before. As a ring announcer, that's actually kind of cool. But between that, Ryback is back. The Ryback Regeneration has been on tour lately. He takes on AR Fox. I'm talking two different, completely different styles of wrestling with AR Fox and Ryback. Tommy Dreamer is back in the house to take on Joey Janela. I expect that to be a hard-hitting bloodbath, and it's not going to be for all you softy fans out there. If you want violence, well, look no further than the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer. Who else is coming in? Bobby Lashley taking on Colt Cabana. So much more. All your favorite WrestlePro stars are in action. It's going to be a hell of a night, and I'm just really, really, really excited to finally get back out there and get behind the commentary table and do my thing and have that massive crowd cheering me on. It's the day before my birthday, so it's like almost like a little party. I've almost let my birthday fall to the wayside because this week in general, as you're listening to this, you know, we're one day away. It's Wednesday as you're listening to this. Thursday, you're listening. If you're listening to it on Thursday, it's tonight. The NFL season kicks off, and I'm very excited about that. The Patriots hanging their banner tonight against the Chiefs. And then Friday is my first game with the Franklin Warriors football team. Obviously, you know I'm not the head coach, but I've been very involved and very heavily learning as I go. But we're going to Phillipsburg, so that's a very exciting, intriguing matchup to start our season. Phillipsburg has always been a powerhouse if you're from Pittsburgh or from that area. It's right outside Easton, Pennsylvania, so it's one of those rivalries within the conference, so I'm excited about that. Then obviously WrestlePro on Saturday, and then my birthday on Sunday. Now, you know, a lot of people, a couple of my friends have asked me, you know, what are you doing for your birthday? And this year, nothing, man. I almost don't want to do anything. I just want to be in front of a TV with football being played, pizza in front of me, and not so much beer even, because I'm not a heavy drinker when it comes to Sunday football. I do that for my own personal safety and the safety for those around me, because I just can't handle it. It's bad enough when you root for the Cowboys that it's just a 3-hour heart racing, just bullshit. And I'm excited. Yes. As I'm recording this, it is Tuesday and we're supposed to get some kind of word on Ezekiel Elliott's suspension appeal. A lot of people are saying it could be wiped completely. So it remains to be seen. As you're listening to this, you probably have more of a better idea of what's to come this Sunday night football, the Giants and the Cowboys. So that's my birthday weekend coming up. I'm excited about that. What I'm not excited about is something that, you know, obviously I took another break last week. It might become a bi-weekly show. I'm not sure yet. We took on another sponsor this week. We'll talk about that because, you know, it's always good to promote good business and do good business with good friends of the show. So I definitely want to touch on that, and you'll hear all about that soon. I am a little disappointed, though. In the week that I had off was the same week I saw heard Pat Buck's podcast with Ryback about how there's a possibility of WrestlePro slowing down in 2018. Now, I'm not talking about closing doors. It's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to slowing down is that it might take it like a WWE approach and do four major shows a year. That would obviously suck for people like me who want to stay relevant and stay consistent in the broadcast game. And I don't look at any other company besides WrestlePro and Battle Club Pro as companies worth really digging deep into as far as broadcasting and production level. There are other decent shows and decent companies that run, but lately with all the stuff that I've been dealing with and the stress, oh my fucking God, the stress of waiting for the Nets to call me has really, really driven me down as far as into the dirt, like what's next, how long is it going to take, where my broadcast career goes from here, is this it? If the Nets say no, which is a very high possibility, if the Nets choose somebody else, that's one thing. And then WrestlePro slows down and Battle Club runs kind of like every 4 or 5 months. Is the broadcasting run over? It's scary. It's a very scary thought because at one point you're getting so hot and you're working every day and then you see your summer lined up and you're like, wow, there's so much shit going on. And then things kind of trickle down. It's peaks and valleys, folks. Like, I obviously go through peaks and valleys. I can't be Mr. Ray of Sunshine all the time. It's not realistic. So the weeks that I have taken off, it's because stress, anxiety, they've all creeped their little heads back into my life. And it's one thing to try to maintain it and try to harness it as much as possible. But sometimes it's nearly impossible. It's nearly impossible. It really takes over your body, your mind, your spirit, everything. And like I said, not trying to be Debbie Downer because, you just don't need to be that way. So I think this weekend, with all the stuff that's coming up and what happened and transpired the last 2 weeks during the weekends, like, it really lifted my spirits. And, I'm back to normal again. Like, again, I said, peaks and valleys. You're going to have times where you feel like you're on top of the world, and then you're going to have times where you feel like, ugh, is it all over? Can I just get through these days? I don't want to get through the days. I don't think it's necessary to do it or treat it as such. I think you should live every day like it's your last because it very well could be. I've seen too many people, lose their lives, whether it be with Hurricane Harvey, which, God bless all the survivors out there and the people trying to make do. I know J.J. Watt and a lot of companies have raised a lot of money for this cause. And now I'm hearing there's another one coming in for Florida, Hurricane Irma. So hurricane season is never easy, and I should not be the one sitting around complaining when, I have a big fan and supporter in Lisa Morales over in Houston, who basically just lost a lot of stuff, like her family. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, wait, I'm sorry, I'm complaining about a bad day when people just lost their houses, their loved ones, their lives, Like, so what exactly am I complaining about? So that's always, unfortunately, tragedy is what brings people together. And that's a really shitty thing to think about, but it's the truth. When things happen, 9/11, catastrophic things happen in this world, it brings us together. It makes us forget all this racial bullshit that we've been dealing with for years now. I don't feel like this was ever like this when I was a kid. It's almost like we got past all that shit when I was a kid. And now it's like, it's constant. And I got plenty of black friends. I got plenty of Spanish, Indian, fucking, you name it, I got it. I'm a very diverse friend, okay? I got a lot of people that are, either supporters of mine, friends of mine, what have you. But, I don't remember it being this bad ever in my life where people are literally going to war with each other. It's borderline annoying is one, because I know that these people don't really feel this way. It's almost as just if you're following a crowd or the parents are just complete pricks and they're like, well, this is how I was raised and this is now you're going to be raised. Like, it's just, it starts at home, folks. And I think the parents need to be a little bit more smarter. Parents have to be a little smarter in their efforts to smarten up their kids and tell them to treat everybody equally and all that good shit. It's just one of those things. But anyway, Yeah, so I touched down my birthday week. I'm not one of those guys anymore. I'm too old to do the whole, like, it's my birthday week, or it's September 1st, so it's my birthday month. You know, like, I need a whole month to celebrate. I'm going to be 32, so I'm getting older. My physical state, I would say, is, like, mediocre at best. Every year, you know, I turn another year older, I'm like, well, this is going to be the year I get in the best shape of my life. Well, that's not going to happen if I keep drinking the beers that I drink and I eat the pizza that I eat. It's just not going to happen. I'm at the point where I think it's kind of like maintenance for now on. There's nothing better than muscle memory. Like, I cannot go to the gym for 4 days and then go and then look swole and look good and feel good about myself and be like, yeah, I'm the fucking man, you know, and it was only one workout per 5 days. So I think it's more of a maintenance level at this point. I mean, it's the truth. I'm not a CrossFitter. I'm not a guy looking to compete. I'm not a guy looking to take fucking all sorts of steroids to look the best I can. Like, I'm just, I wear suits now, man. I wear suits now. So, like, the whole, you know, belly and wanting a six pack, those days left me way, way long ago. But now it's almost like, all right, I accept this. I don't need it. I got a fucking phenomenal head of hair now. So what exactly do I need this fucking six pack for? To each his own. If you have a six pack and you're looking as shredded as you've ever looked, good for you. I think it's very healthy and it's a good way to live and probably prolong your life. But yeah, so like I said, there's been so many things that have happened in the last 2 weeks. We're coming off a weekend where one of my best friends got married. What a phenomenal time that was. We were there for 2 nights, me, my wife, all my friends and their wives and girlfriends and fiancés. And it was just a really good time to get together with, you know, and I said this a million times over. It's really, I think, the way I look at it, I only see it, it's very rare to keep the same group of friends together that you had senior year of high school. I mean, I'm talking 2003. So I'm talking about 2000 when we started, 99, 2000. So we're talking 17, 18 years of friendship here. And I'm not talking about the kids that I already known since middle school. So that goes back to 96. So that's over 20 years. And then on top of that, I got one friend who I've been friends with since literally, and we did the math the other day, 1988. So since I was 3 years old, I've had the same best friend. I think that's rare. I think people grow and evolve and they like different things and, you know, they grow apart a little bit. And but like, it's sometimes you just don't miss beats. And even if I don't see some of these guys that I saw over the weekend, if I don't see them for a month and we get together, it's like we just don't miss a beat. And I really, truly believe in the theory of 4 quarters is greater than 100 pennies. Yes, it's same value, but you just rather have that those solid, valuable people in your life rather than have a million people follow you and pretend that they like you or pretend that they're your biggest fan or supporter or whatever. You know, like, it's just one of those things, man. Like, it just, I don't like fake people. I don't like how people, you know, lie to your face. Like, there's a lot of those people out there, and there's people that I interact with every day that I know are lying right to my face, and I see right through it. It's not like it's the hardest thing to decipher of, you know, who's shady and who's not. But, so that's been basically what happened. Last weekend, the wedding went off without a hitch. It was great. I was in the wedding party, got ridiculously drunk, got in a nice little scuffle at the end of the night because, you know, why not? But, you know, obviously all my friends had my back, and that's another thing. It was one of those things where it's like, oh, you really know who's got your back in a sticky situation, even if it is at a wedding. I mean, it was after the wedding. It was after party, and people were just being pricks, and I was just like, I had enough. I don't know. It was one of those things. Well, I guess, if you drink 12 hours straight, you're gonna have a quick twitch and a quick on and off switch. But so on top of that, obviously, fantasy football season is upon us. I completed 3 drafts with the knowledge that I have that, you know, people constantly make fun of me about. I'm talking about one Voxer group chat that complain, but they make fun of me because I said that this year would be competitive because of the knowledge that was coming into it. There was a couple new teams going into a league, and that's all I said. But now they think I'm just packed with all this knowledge, and I am. I think I'm pretty well off. I have 3 teams, one being a team in my own league, one being a team in my buddy's league, which is pretty much the highest money league. And then I'm in the Create a Pro fantasy football league as well. A couple former couple current stars, couple former stars, a couple shit talkers, and a couple legends. You know what I mean? It's a good mix of a lot of good brothers doing fantasy football. Which, that draft lasted 45 minutes. The drafts that I've been to are like eclipsing three and a half hours. When you do one of these online drafts, it, like, I understand they time you. And I don't know. I just think, like, yeah, I guess you know your stuff already. Being that it was my third draft, I probably already knew the shit I wanted. But at the same time, it's like, damn, dude, that's quick. You know, you want to draft a really good team, but if you have a minute to do it every round, that's quick, you know. And by the time you get to read all the paragraphs and, you know, little blurbs of the guys you want, it's boom, here's your pick. Yeah, so the teams I've drafted, I'm happy with all three, happier with one of the three, you know what I mean? So it remains to be seen. It gives me three chances to, you know, to succeed in the world of fantasy football this year. I usually do like a whole prediction show, or not some show because it's my first year, but like what I do on Facebook is I predict, you know, the NFL, the standings, the Super Bowl winners. I mean, it's pretty simple. To me, as the season's about to start, there are a couple intriguing stories in the NFL. The NFC East, once again, probably going to be the most competitive. I would love to see my Cowboys win 10 games with the schedule they have. With or without Zeke, I think they're going to be okay. Will 10 games win the NFC East? I don't know. Can anybody win 11? I don't see that either. The Giants had a huge issue with their offensive line last year. They didn't address it, not in the draft. Not, I mean, if they did, it's like no-name McGee. You know, through the draft and free agency, they're going with the same thing. So the running game in Paul Perkins is almost just as shitty as it was last year. So, and yeah, they added Brandon Marshall, and Eli just, you know, throws blindfolded and somehow fucking comes up with the miraculous completions that he does. But the defense is going to lead that team to at least 10 wins as well. So it's tight. I mean, and then the Eagles are the Eagles. I mean, they have a couple new weapons on offense. Their defense is still, to me, a little suspect. So can they win 9-10 games? And then you got the Redskins, who I always feel are underappreciated as far as value and as far as skill-wise. They add a receiver. They have a couple good tight ends, a couple good running backs. Can they win 10 games? So that's why I think that's the most intriguing story. I don't think the Patriots lose a game in the AFC East. I don't. There's no reason for it. I understand they lost Julian Edelman, but to me, the Patriots are always going to be a force. And they don't. It's almost as if they got winning down to a science where no matter how much they're down, they always come back and they always, you know, rally up. And Tom Brady is the greatest of all time, and we've all seen it. We all know this by now. It's not a secret. But there's in the AFC, there's a couple stories like, are the Raiders going to be as good? You know, their defense is not that great, but their offense are high powered, and they added Marshawn Lynch. So great. Do they take the West by storm? Watch out for Kansas City. They always have, you know, they lost their running back. I get it. But they have a very conservative quarterback who wins games when it's needed. You know, is Pittsburgh going to be anything again? Like, they always have a high-powered offense. This year, it's wide open. I truly think so. I truly think every team in the NFL addressed all their needs except for the Giants and except for a couple teams that are just sticking with their quarterbacks. The Jets, are they tanking? Like, isn't that kind of shitty that if you have, like, I have a couple friends that are season ticket holders for the New York Jets. Isn't that a little shitty that, like, they're basically blatantly and bluntly, openly tanking this season in order to get the number one guy next year, I think the quarterback from USC. That's not fair to these people who have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to watch them lose every game. I mean, it's just, maybe the Jets will be the Jets and they'll fuck it up and they'll win 5-6 games and then they'll ruin their chances. But again, look at the roster, look at the trades, look at what they're doing to their team. They're imploding from within, and they're riding out this quarterback trio that is just bad right now. It's not good. So that might be the story of the year to watch if the Jets tank or not. But yeah, I mean, as far as like a Super Bowl pick, I mean, who's going to stop Brady from getting there again in the AFC? I think the Raiders got a shot. I think the Texans surprised a couple people. They were a good quarterback away from beating the Patriots last year. That's what I think. Brock Osweiler stunk. Still stinks. He can't stay on a team right now. I mean, he re-signed with Denver, but they were one good quarterback away, and is Watson the guy? or is Savage the guy? You know what I mean? Like, they're one good quarterback away from being a great team, because I think that their defense is stellar and their offensive weapons are enough to get games won. You know, then you got the teams that are always going to be on the cuff, like the Chargers and the Bengals, and like those teams that are just, they're good, but then they just, I don't know why they can't win games. I don't think anybody's going to be like doorbusters as soon as the season starts. I like the Patriots and the Raiders, I guess, in the AFC Championship game. And the NFC Championship game, it's very wide open. It's hard to repeat, so it'll be intriguing to see how the Falcons adjust, you know, to their loss. If they come out and lose week one, holy shit, you know, like, okay, what's next? But between the Falcons, the Packers, the Cowboys, the Giants, Tampa Bay on the rise, you know, the NFC is pretty wide open. Selfishly, I want to say the Cowboys finally get over the hump, but their defense is a little too suspect to win a championship right now, I think. And you got guys that are getting cut, like a TJ Ward. Like, the Cowboys could have used him. Darrelle Revis is still sitting on his ass at home with no team. I understand he got old and he lost a step, but what's to say he can't play safety? This is what the older guys do. They move to safety, less ground to cover. They're just watching and hawking the field. You're telling me this guy doesn't have enough, you know, skill to start on an NFL team as a safety, especially with the Cowboys being so suspect? But, yeah, I mean, hold on one second, guys. But that, folks, I mean, it's one of those things where every time the phone rings, you'd think it's the Nets, and you think, and then this is, hi, this is blah, blah, blah from Auto Care. I heard your insurance sucks. But anyway, so back to my NFL. Yeah, the NFC being wide open, I would like to see the Cowboys get there. Don't know if it's going to happen. I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers and company is always a threat to get there. Unfortunately, and you're going to hear this from me, and you're going to be like, wow, I can't believe you just said that. The Giants. It's a tricky story. Like, I don't know how to take it, but are the Giants primed for another run because of their defense? I don't know, and it wouldn't surprise me if the New York Giants find themselves in the Super Bowl again. It's one of those things where it just happens every couple of years. They get lucky, and, you know, they have enough tools to get over the top. Do I want to see that? No. I rather see fucking, you know, kittens get, no, I don't want to say that, as Dez is, my cat is right next to me. I'm not going to get too harsh, but like, I would hate to see it, but it's never out of the possibilities that the Giants can be contenders to get there. Are they going to win it? I have no idea. But the NFC is going to be pretty close. You know, it's far as the teams that have the same quality of offense and defense and et cetera, et cetera. So those are, all right, if I have to pick, let's put the Packers and the Cowboys. Let's put the Packers and the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. And let's forget about the Falcons, because I just think it's the hardest thing in the world to get back to that holy ground of competing to get back into the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl, let's go Patriots-Packers. That's my pick right now. And I'll go with the Patriots again. Yeah. I mean, I know you're all listening like, oh, that was a risky bet. You know, but it's not. I just, you know, I don't see them losing. Even with Edelman out, I just, Chris Hogan's going to be the new hero or something like that. They always figure out a way to figure things out. They got a new running game, too. Like, they got plenty of options, you know, and Gronkowski's healthy. So it's just, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I think it's the Patriots again. But we're going to take a little break. We're going to hear a word from our sponsor. When I get back, I will take all your questions, which there are actually kind of relatively a few of them. We'll touch on a couple of current topics, and then we'll wrap this up and take it home. All right, I'll be right back right after these messages. Hey, everybody, this is Dave Destruction Sergio, and I'm here to talk to you about a new passion of mine, the theater. That's right, we're bringing you another blockbuster hit that opens this October, entitled The Lion in Winter. You see, it's Christmas 1183. King Henry II is planning to announce his successor to his throne. The jockeying and battle for this crown, though, a little complex. You see, Henry has three sons. He wants his boy Prince John to take over. Henry's wife, Queen Eleanor, believes their son Prince Richard should be the king. And to add to this, don't forget about Geoffrey, who's plotting and scheming his way for his own advantages. You see, Henry had Eleanor in prison for the last 10 years because of her last Civil War attempt failed. But since then, fell in love with young Elias, sister to the King of France. This is getting crazier and crazier. If you're not intrigued already, I don't know what to tell you. This has twists, deception, family drama. The Lion of Winter is an engaging play that will leave audiences engrossed until its very final moments. The show had a successful run on stage, and was made into two movies, one starring Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn, and most recently the version starring Patrick Stewart and the very own Glenn Close. The show will be presented at the Pennsylvania Playhouse in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, directed by Claire M. Freeman, with Gene Connolly and Jeannie Ola starring as King Henry and Queen Eleanor, and featuring our very own Jeremy Thompson as Richard Lionheart, Colin Walsh as Jeffrey, Chris Kaiser as John, Marion Barsinger as Elias, and Drake Nestor as King Philip. This play opens up October 6th and runs for 3 weekends. That's right, 3 chances to see this. Tickets are just $25, $22 for students and seniors. Available at www.paplayhouse.org. That's www.paplayhouse.org or 610-865-6665. Go check out The Lion in Winter this October and do not be disappointed.
What do you hear? What do you say? It's your boy Gino Guts. I'm back with the 24th edition of Kicked in the Head, right here on the Destruction 101 podcast, only on the B+ Player Radio and the Shining Wizards Network. Now, we've got some exciting news this week. Exciting as a motherfucker. You wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. Alright, maybe nobody asked for it, but you're getting it fucking anyway. What are you getting? You're getting another podcast out of your boy Gino Guts. Am I leaving Destruction 101? Hell no! My boy Dave Sturch, forget about it. He'd be lost without me. So I'm certainly gonna contribute my 2 cents or my 2 minutes every time he puts out his podcast for Kicked in the Head. However, every other week, we're gonna give Dave a break. And, your boy Gino's gonna put out a different kind of podcast. A little bit longer, a little more ranting, a little more raving, a little more bitching, and a little more moaning. A Drink with Gino, that's what I'm calling it, I like that, is also going to feature a guest, maybe 10-20 minute conversation with all your favorites, a couple of WrestlePro stars, mostly WrestlePro stars, because honestly, who the fuck else matters, that's right, am I right, or am I right? Well, some of my friends throughout the industry, a couple of here, a couple of there, well, you let me know who you want, and you know, whatever you need, Gino got folks, so, this is the first time my producer, Johnny Bacala, is hearing this, so sorry to let you know that way, but here we go. Get ready, because you're going to have a lot of work to do next week, because, I don't know, is it this week or next week? Next week or this week or next week. It'll come out, and you'll know about it. Don't worry. Listen to my Twitter. It is Gino_Guts. We'll make an announcement. I'm sure David will make an announcement. We'll all make an announcement. Remember, folks, you're only as good as your last envelope, so keep that hustle going, baby.
Tell me quick, boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
So very cool news here from Gino Guts opening up his own podcast. It's like one of those things where you just knew he would get a spinoff eventually, and he's got one. He's going to be joining B+ Player Radio along with probably the Shining Wizards Network, as they're always looking for more content. So congrats to Gino Guts on that one. I'm excited about it, and I've been happy and fortunate enough for him to join me every week with his installments of Kicked in the Head, which is a little 2-3 minute segment where he's always ranting and raving. And now I'm excited to hear a podcast with young Gino Guts. Young Gino, he's probably my age, if not older. But yeah, so thank you to him. Thank you to our sponsor, The Lion. Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa. The Lion in Winter by with Jeremy Thompson's in it. I'm excited about it. It's a play. Obviously, you know, some people are into plays. Some people aren't. I get it. The theater is just like pro wrestling to me. A lot of plot twists and drama and action. And this one seems to be pretty cool, as it you know, surrounds itself with a big family drama on who's going to be the king. So I'm excited about it. So I suggest you go check that out. That's opening up in the Pennsylvania area, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So definitely go check him out. I really appreciate Jeremy coming on. You'll hear from him a lot. Maybe we'll even try to get him on the podcast to promote his own show. We can always try and do that as well. There's the endless possibilities. The endless possibilities of the way the social media network, a social media network that really helps people get off the ground, help people promote a little bit. But yeah, so anyway, we'll get to your questions right now because I did leave. Happy Labor Day. Yep, here it is. A couple of them. J.P. Mayer, which, by the way, you know, before I get to J.P. Mayer's question, why I like J.P. I think he's a good dude. I think he means well. Do I think he's a great ring announcer? I don't know. I've heard him talk, so I don't know if he has that ring announcer voice. I have no idea. I haven't really heard anything from him. However, why is you know, and I've said this on past episodes, Bad Wrestlers Exposed is a Facebook group that exposes the bad in wrestling. Hence, Bad Wrestlers Exposed. Bad Wrestlers Exposed. Why are we exposing fans again? Like, why are we attacking people's fiancés? Like, holy shit. Like, it blew my mind that somebody can say something about a man's fiancé. All right, I'm not going to lie. If somebody said something to me publicly in front of everybody to see about my wife, I would kill them. There's no like, oh, I would beat him up or I would punch him in the face. No, I would fucking murder them. Quote me on that, okay? Because I swear to God, like, where these guys get the audacity to make fun of people on the regular, like, every day it's another post. And as I said, sometimes it's funny as shit. Sometimes they're talking shit about the biggest yard trash untrained wrestlers, and sometimes it's so bad that it's great. Me and KM have had serious, lengthy conversations about some of their videos they put up, and it's some of the funniest shit you'll ever watch because it's so bad. But it comes a time, man, where what's the point? What's the point of attacking a fan? Attacking a fan? Like, I'm not really sure what they're getting at or what they're trying to do. But like I said, you want to make fun of Wrestler's Lab? That's on you. It's silly. Because I've seen the work they put in, and I've seen the shows they put on, and there's nothing to laugh about. There's nothing to make fun of. There's nothing to expose. I don't understand it. You know, if you still are against Grimm, I get it. Like it's one of those things where, oh, okay, Grimm is cool, but his wrestling is shit. But if you've noticed, Grimm is starting to use some of the WrestlePro guys, some of the stars you see on Impact. Kurt Hawkins has been on this. You know what I mean? Like, so Let's pump the brakes when it comes to, you know, calling all his shit that he puts on trash, because he's got a bigger following than all of us. So that's it. He's got a bigger following than all of us. But like I said, going back to the original point, you know, I seen JP ring announce and they just assaulted him. And then, you know, these kids are going back and forth. And I'm looking at the kids' profiles and I'm like, oh, JP, stop. You know, like, so this is a message to JP in itself. To just stop going back and forth with these idiots. Like, it's not worth it. It's probably assault. And they're probably 16. You know what I mean? So you want to be careful when you're like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Because, I mean, JP, let's be honest. You're not throwing any punches. You're not. Like, it's just, you're not. Whatever they look like, you're just not raising your fist to anybody. I think you're too passive aggressive for that. So let's pump the brakes there. But again, I think that the Bad Wrestlers Exposed thing is just getting out of hand, as far as trying to talk shit about people's personal lives and wives and wives to be. And it's just too much. It's way too much. And I think it needs to stop. But sorry, I got sidetracked there. JP, this is what happens when you're involved. Anyway, with the Yankees taking 3 out of 4 against Boston and 1 last night against Baltimore, and I don't know what the result will be while you read this, but right now, as it stands, Tuesday morning as I record this, the Yankees are 2.5 back. Can they overtake the Sox to get the AL East title, or are they going to try to get the 1 or 2 wild cards? I do not want this fucking wild card thing. I think the wild card game is the worst thing that the MLB has ever done. It's just for one more game of ratings. I hate it because, yeah, the Yankees fell victim to it a few years ago. You know what I mean? Like when Dallas Keuchel just tore us to shreds, you know, in one chance to get there. Let's give another team a chance. Like, enough, man. Enough teams make it as is. You know, just get the top 4 teams like you've always done. 3 division winners, 1 wild card. Boom. Settled. Done. Do I think the Yankees have a chance? Now I do. They took 3 out of 4 against Boston. And let me tell you something. I was there for the Sunday Nighter. And that was an all-out assault. Everybody hit. Everybody woke up. And then they scored another 7 runs the next day. So finally, maybe all of them hitting a stride. If this continues and Severino pitches well and Tanaka gets back on his horse and CC keeps delivering, why not take the division and why not secure themselves in the playoffs rather than push for that stupid wild card game where it could ruin your season no matter how good a season you're having? Look, let's just say like the first wild card is like 8 games above the second wild card. Is that fair? Is that fair to have a team that totally dominated and just missed their division title by a game, but they dominated all year long? Like, I'm not saying that's the Yankees right now, but I'm just saying, like, how fair is that? I don't know. It's just, I'd rather them win the East. Can they? I think they can. Another question. Which match are you most looking forward to this Saturday at WrestlePro when they return to the Rec Center? There's obviously, it's top to bottom amazing, but I'm going to be selfish, and I'm going to go with one of my biggest mentors against my biggest trainer, Pat Buck, taking on Dan Moff in a cage. I've personally never seen a cage match in any independent show I've ever attended or been a part of. Never done it. Never seen it. Never been right there. I know WrestlePro had one last year. I was not there. I was on my honeymoon. So this is my first interaction with a cage match. I'm pumped about it. I'm worried about it, obviously, for the safety of my one of my biggest mentors, and then there's obviously one of my best friends and trainers, Pat Buck. But obviously that one takes the cake very easily as far as which match I'm looking forward to the most. So Mike Malario, will Johnny Clash ever get a victory at WrestlePro? Well, this weekend he takes on KM, Kevin Matthews, and I don't think it comes this weekend. I don't think it ever comes. I don't know. Johnny Clash, and this is a shout-out to all the Creative Pro New York guys, Johnny Clash, Smart Mark Sterling, Bear Bronson, Max Caster, those guys put in work when it comes to promoting their shit. The promos that I've been reading and watching, that these guys are doing great things on the editing, and like it's just very highly entertaining, and they're putting in work. So don't like just discourage Johnny Clash just as a WrestlePro guy. He's in a main story with Max Caster over at Creative Pro New York, which you can go check those guys out at Feeding Time in St. James, New York. Go check them out. They have a show on Friday. Obviously, when I'm coaching my Franklin Warriors, they will be putting on their own excellent, excellent show. I really, truly think they're also on the cusp of really, really big things at Creative Pro New York. Shout out to everybody who's ever trained there. You know, they're responsible for Casey Cattell. They're responsible for Bear Bronson. They're responsible, unfortunately, for Maxwell Jacob Friedman, who's obviously caught fire the last year plus in professional wrestling. He's been unbelievable, but he's a product of that school. So shout out to those guys. But as far as your question, Mike, nah, not this weekend. Not at least this week. I don't know. I don't know the results. I typically like to not have the results as a commentator because I think it's kind of takes away from the element of surprise. So I never want to see who wins and loses beforehand. In case anybody didn't know, that wrestling is fucking scripted. Anyway, Tom Sobey, have people finally left the hate Chase Headley bandwagon? Well, I hate him every other day. So, you know, yes, he comes up with some big hits sometimes, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, this guy is just the drizzling shits. I saw, you know, plenty of errors and plenty of days where he would go 0 for 4 or 4 strikeouts. And for some reason, until he gets that big hit, like let's say, for example, Aaron Boone, right? I'm sure he wasn't everybody's favorite pick to play third base back in the day for the Yankees. But as soon as he beat the Red Sox to propel them into the World Series, he's all of a sudden idolized and just immortalized by Yankee fans as always being one of the greatest fucking guys to ever step plate. Headley could do the same thing. All it takes is one big hit in a big game for people to be like, I love this guy. Same thing with, like, there's a lot of players like that. Todd Frazier, bringing him on, I was excited because I'm like, oh, wow, you know, Tom's River's own, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, oh, I hate this fucking guy. And then all, like I said, all he needs is one big hit. Brett Gardner, he was being clutch for a long time, and then he average dropped under 250. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like, can you stick to something? Can you just be a consistent hitter? But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's one of those things where it's a love-hate between a lot of these Yankee players, the current Yankee players. But like I said, it is what it is. Let him get a big hit, and I'll stop hating. Question of the week, Ray Sanchez. Having a big steel cage match between Moff and Pat, having a chance to steal the show, which match do you feel has the match of the year for WrestlePro that WrestlePro has put together. One more time. Having the chance to steal the show. Which match do you feel has been match of the year? Oh, okay. There's been a lot. There's been a lot of cool things. Joey Janela, Cody Rhodes comes to mind right away. Bowens versus Brian Cage comes to mind. The original Pat Buck versus Dan Moff in a Moff's Madness match. There's been a lot. You know, tag team wrestling has been some of my favorite stuff. The Heavenly Body is always on a tear. So match of the year is... It still remains to be seen. I think obviously this one has a shot to be, you know, match of the year. It's two rock stars in WrestlePro about to do battle again. There's a lot of stuff going on in WrestlePro. So that's why it kind of saddens me that we might slow down as far as shows go. But you know what? It's a team effort and we have to do well. So if you're coming to the September show, come to some of the October shows. There's four of them lined up. Come to November. Come to December. Show your support for WrestlePro so we can feel like it's worth putting on all of these shows. It's one thing to put on a show every so often, but we tried to run a lot this year. So is it overkill? Is it oversaturation? I don't know. But it remains to be seen. I think this Saturday in particular is going to kill. I truly think the crowd's going to be out of control. I got a good feeling. Sometimes me and Eddie make like little predictions, like based on publicity, based on thing. I mean, there's fucking banners hanging in Colonia right now, next to the Muscle Maker Grill, next to which is, by the way, shout out to Mike DeCrosta at Body Bronze. If you want to get tanned and spray tanned and all that shit, go see Mike. He's always paid to be a sponsor, and he's also let me tan for free for the last 5 years. So I had to give him a little plug. But anyway, if you're a WrestlePro fan, please continue to support. We always appreciate the support. It's been fucking awesome thus far. And let's really kill it. Let's really, really kill it. A lot of cool talent coming in this weekend. I'm excited about everything. So Jeremy Thompson, one of my main guy right here. What gimmick would you like to see implemented on the wrestling scene that hasn't been done before, at least in a long time? Well, I mean, that's very broad. Gimmicks are not so much, I don't know, they're not as a commodity as what they once were. You know, a lot of guys are just themselves. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens, fucking name them, you know, AJ Styles. These guys are just themselves. There's no gimmick. You know, Kane was a gimmick. The Big Show is a gimmick. Braun Strowman is himself. He's just a monster. I mean, his size speaks volumes. Which, by the way, you know, last Monday, shout out to the Big Show. For Christ's sakes, he's been doing this for 25 fucking years plus. And he gets thrown through a cage. Like, talk about trying to put the young guys over. I mean, that's a team player right there. He's been going at it for a long, long time. And it's funny. Because, yeah, I mean, I've read this online, but I also thought of it myself. If you remember the debut of the Big Show, he came through the ring, through Stone Cold, through the cage, just like the way he went out yesterday. So I don't know if that's it. If it is, what a career. One of the greatest big men ever, especially in his later days. Like, even within the last year, he's put on some of his better matches. He's gotten better shape. You know, it's a life changer. So gimmicks. Gimmicks are like, you know, Kane, and I said that already, Kane is a gimmick. Like, Undertaker is a gimmick. So, like, I don't know if gimmicks are necessarily needed anymore. I think you could be like me, or like when I came in, I was Dave Destruction. Like, it's not really a gimmick, it's who I was. High intensity, fucking violent, just pissed off person, high energy. You know, it's not really a gimmick, it's just who I am, and that's in real life. I feel like the gimmicks have gone away and it's more realistic now as far as people are just themselves. What kind of gimmick would I like to see? I think, I don't know, man, like another demon of some sort. I mean, I guess like Finn Balor is a prime example of a guy that could be himself and a guy can be a gimmick. Bray Wyatt, that's a gimmick, you know? So the gimmicks are there already. I've said gimmick like 54 times in the last minute. They're there already. So it's really all about the next big thing to you know, grace us with captivating shit. We're like, wow, that's fucking cool. The Roman Reigns and Cena thing right now is hit an all-time high. They're taking the fucking chains off these boys. Let me tell you, they're letting them go head-to-head and talk as much shit as possible. Sorry, I heard something in my apartment. That's always creepy. Speaking of apartments, I'm almost out of here. I'm in the process of buying a house, which, again, one of the most stressful things in the world. And you know, people ask, well, why are you so stressed? Hey, why are you so stressed? Well, look, I mean, look at all the stuff I'm dealing with right now. So I'm trying to manage it and maintain it as best as I possibly can. But again, it's one of those things where it'll be maintained eventually and things will pan out. But with that being said, I got to all your questions. I covered a couple cool things happening going on this week. It's been a bi-weekly show lately. I don't know if I'll be back next week, but I guess it would be kind of smart to come back next week to recap all WrestlePro and the entire big weekend. So maybe we'll talk next week. I'm pretty sure we will. But next week also starts school again for me. So I'm back to school, back to constant work, back to having a fucking income, which is by God the greatest sound coming from my mouth. It's been a very, very rough August, pinching and nickeling, diming all the way. But thanks, guys, for listening. You can follow me on all my social media. At Dave Sturch on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/destruction101 to join the fan page and the podcast page. Go support WrestlePro. Support the Shining Wizards Network. Support B Plus Player Radio. There's a lot of shit going on right now, and a lot of success is being thrown around. And right now, I couldn't be more proud of a lot of guys. You know, Money Morales making strides and making companies. You know, Mark Adam Haggerty doing his thing. It's been awesome to see all these guys succeed, and I'm always, always, always going to be the biggest fan of everybody's success around me, including WrestlePro, my home, the ones that created me. Just 5 years ago, I was in my first match ever on September 14th, 2012. I was in a battle royal. Yes, did I win it? Yeah, who cares? Winning and losing doesn't matter, but at the same time, it was that first rush that I ever had, and it's all thanks to Create-A-Pro New Jersey, Pat Buck, Dan Moff, Mario Bacara, the Carinos, all these guys. They've really helped me support me the whole time, even when I was a crazy person and I couldn't even get out of my own way. So it does happen. Enjoy this weekend. Enjoy NFL kickoff. Enjoy WrestlePro on Saturday. I will talk to you all, you guys, most likely next week.